Hey everyone, it is Phyllis here. Let me know that you're on and you can hear me. That would be awesome. Hayley, if you could just Skype me. So somebody's just asked, where are the weekly call sounds so that I can download and listen to them again? The link that you get sent to come to this call afterwards is also the link for the replay. So each week that you get an email, you can use that to then access the link for the replay. When you go back for the replay, you can also download it. So have a go at it tonight after the call. Good habit to get into. Righto, let me just check that Hayley can hear me and all as well. Yep, she's all good. Great. Righty, Janine from Auckland says I have completed week one and I'm not passing bowel motions. Two in the last week. That is very light. Previously we go 2 to 3 times a day. I'm having the allocated oils, 3 to 4 litres of water a day. I've seen the colon cleanse bit. Is it too soon to be thinking about magnesium oxide? When Damien comes on, Janine, we'll ask him that question. Then he can give you a much fuller answer and also ask you about it. So, you know, more details. Won't be a moment. Just check what Hayley's saying. Yep, good. Okay. Alrighty. So Sharon has said, there's a big difference between my doctor's measurements of my waist at the beginning of the challenge and my measurements of my waist now. Where exactly on our waist do we measure? So if you take your measurement in the same place each week, and you will know around from your belly button, Damien will describe it. You can even measure up if you want from a particular place. Sharon said, I'm having trouble getting into the vent. Am I on the right page? But I can't go any further. Every time I click to listen here, give me saying login successful, no slides being shared. We're not using any slides tonight, Sharon, so that might be why you're not seeing any. Disregard the last question. That's all good, and you'd also come in an hour early. That's all fine. People do that. They come in and out when you first start. Don't worry. And sorry, I'd already started reading before I saw that last bit, so honestly, don't worry about it. People do all sorts of things. We're going to leave that question, Annie, for when Damien gets on. And we'll also discuss the coffee as well. Awesome. Right, I'm just refreshing, seeing who's on. Hi, Sharon from Matter. Awesome to have you here. All right, let's get started. So what we're focusing on tonight, and of course there'll always be opportunity for your nutrition and water questions, et cetera, when Damien gets on, but we're actually focusing on, and is that you on now, Damien? Nope. We're also focusing on having a plan rather than an excuse. So the areas that you want to have a look at planning is your food. Try not to get to an end of a week and think, well, that week didn't go so well in the food because you haven't actually planned it. So there are different ways that you can plan, and please share your ideas, but you can plan your menu in advance. You can actually plan and prepare your food in advance. You can also plan when and where you're going to have the meals as well. So there's a number of areas that you can use to plan around your food. One of the things that I like to do is, for example, kumara, when it's boiled and then dry roasted in the oven, is actually very delicious. And it's a great filler to add to your salad, to add to, you know, other things. And if you keep it in a bag in the fridge, it's easier to organise. So think about things that could make it easier. I have started, stocking up on soups in my freezer because that way I can grab them if I'm late home from work or I want to take it for work the next morning. Hi, Sue from Hamilton. How are you going? Or just refreshing. So think about ways that you can improve your food. If you are struggling with, looking at being 100% overall on your food, just think about maybe being 90 or 95, having your breakfasts right. We don't have to have a different breakfast every morning. If you like the same thing, then find something that you like. You might want to work your way through. There's about, I think in the book you could choose probably 6 or 7 different types of breakfast and then maybe try, maybe do 2 or 3 that are the same for the morning and try a new one. You might want to have a Saturday-Sunday routine, or there might be other days that are easier for you. But it's about the planning, not having the excuse. So you don't want to get to the end of the week and go, oh, well, look, I was really busy, or I was travelling, or I couldn't find something that I liked, If you plan, it's going to be a lot easier. So having similar breakfast, if routine is what helps you, or planning to try something different every day. There is the pear brekkie, you can actually make extra of that and freeze it. So again, you've got no reason. look at also areas of time when you're more likely to be organised. So if you're not a morning person, you don't want to be getting up and doing a lot of preparation in the morning. If you're a night person, great to use that time to get prepared and do the things that you need to do for the next day. Hi, Denise from Christchurch. So think about that. Hi, Sarah. Sarah Craig, how are you going? Alrighty, so that's the food. Think of things that you can do to help you plan and be prepared for your food. Even right down to if you, say you're invited out for a potluck dinner, you can always take a dish that you know you can eat, and there's nothing wrong with eating, you know, mainly your own dish when you're at a potluck dinner. The thing is, people will look at it and think, you know, a lot of that's gone, and you know what it's like, scarcity makes something desirable, so your dish is going to go first. Questions about body type, food and recipes. When there's a recipe that says that is on the plan for your type and has something in it that's not in your food list, do we just substitute? Definitely. Leave it out or put something in from your list. And the thing is, somebody asked me today, and if you're on the call, just remind me who it was, because remember I'm reading a lot of your emails in the morning. But somebody said that they had struggled this week with, you know, getting into what they had on the list. And the thing is that if you think about it, in a week previously, you wouldn't have that much variety often in your week. So, you know, work your way through, try some things. I eat a lot more feta and kumara now than I did previous to, you know, eating this way. There are a lot of things that I eat now that I actually didn't eat before. There are a number of recipes that I, even myself, didn't try until I started having people live in to lose weight. And then I needed to cook my way through the cookbook, because you can't have people be saying, oh, I don't do this recipe and I don't do that. So, for example, the kumara and lentil soup, that's not something I would have picked because lentils are not kind of my thing, but it's one of my favourites. Gary adds a little bit of chicken to it and it's beautiful. And also, if you're thinking about, you know, this isn't on my list, don't focus on what you can't have. Focus on what you can have. And like Damien says, you can have anything you like if you don't want to lose bucket loads of weight. So if anyone read the little flyer that I just put up on the 112 Facebook page, sometimes you've got to let go of some shit to be able to get where you want to go, okay? So, you know, it's only 16 weeks, but some things you'll actually want to forgo a lot longer. Rachel W said, hi, Phyllis, thanks for your advice today. That was obviously in the email back to you, Rachel, so I'm glad that you read it. I am pretty open and honest and straightforward in those emails, so don't ever let them, you know, go to heart or anything like that, but I'm going to say it as I see it, and hopefully you'll reflect and think about it. No, Janine, he's been back-to-back with patients, so we will talk after the call tonight, so don't worry too much. When he gets on, he'll be jumping basically straight in. Oh, he's actually coming now, and Janine will catch up after the call because he's literally just jumping on. But you can bring up, you can ask some things anyway. Alrighty, so I'm refreshing. Damien's just jumping on now, so we will jump back to some of those questions that people had around nutrition and food type things. So I said about food, those are some ideas that you can do to make sure that you are planning rather than having an excuse. Don't get to the end of the week and have an excuse that supports your story about why you couldn't do something. Plan. So with fitness, there's a whole lot of things you can do. You know, one of the things is when we're really, really busy people, sometimes we have to suck it up and do it first thing in the morning, because if you have a really busy life, life will get in the way and you'll get to the end of the day. And sometimes it's our days, you know, 10 o'clock at night. Like today, seriously, it was 8 o'clock before I could blink and I ran out of day. However, I had planned, and I'm meeting someone just about every day at 6 o'clock at night for a swim. So, you know, that's making me, you know, do it. Leonie, hi, evening. Hi, Damien.
Hi,
how are you?
Hi, Lucy. Yeah, good, thanks.
People might just let me know if it's actually repeating, but it sounds like it's okay. I was just going to say, continuing on about exercise planning, you know, if you arrange to meet somebody at your gate or for a walk, you're going to more likely do it. Is that repeating for anyone else?
Not all repeating for me.
My sentence is repeated since you've come on. Got a couple of questions for you, Damien, so straight into it. So it says I use apple cider vinegar to mix with my oil. Is there any reason not to continue to use this?
No reason not to continue at all. It's actually really good to do. upside everything is actually really good because it's very, very acidic. And when you have more acid in your stomach, you create an alkaline environment in your gut. So it's an excellent thing to do. I really like it. I'd highly recommend that you do it.
Awesome. Just checking, I think. Sounds terrible, apparently, Damien, since you've come on.
Oh. Should I go? I can send it down. Hang on.
I just think you should log in and log off.
I'll see how it goes. Is that better?
Yeah. So I'm repeating. So it's coming through yours. Oh, that's better. How about that, Hayley? Are we repeating now? I can't hear it repeating, so it sounds good. Let's just continue till someone gives us a different feedback. Alrighty. Next question is, somebody asked about, you know, when they're reading a recipe and it's not on their list and substituting. So I said, yeah, that's fine. Leave it out.
Yeah.
Anything different?
All right. To be totally honest with you, you know, most vegetables are good for everybody. It's just that the list of the vegetables, the list of the foods that I've provided for you are the ones that are going to get you the best result, most probably. But you'll probably find that any of the recipes will still work for you to notice that. So I don't make body type specific meals. On the retreats, I actually show you how to integrate all the meals that I'd normally cook or you know, make.
I think Damien's disappeared. Oh, you there?
No, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, good. You disappeared for a wee bit.
I did, sorry. I was just saying that, you know, good. And if you follow foods directly, then you'll get a great result. Because of the foods and the items that are special or specific for your body type will get you a better health result. So you'll get it. From a fat loss point of view, using the meals and recipe book, but you'll have an awesome health foods list.
Hey, Damien, they're letting me know that you're disappearing.
Yep.
You keep disappearing.
I'll log back up.
So, I hope you said, I think you said he's going to log out, getting and disappearing. Okay, he's going to log out and then log back in, so just bear with us, everybody. Annie, you haven't lost contact. Damien keeps disappearing, so he's just going to log in, log out. Sometimes that happens. Yeah, Damien sounds awful. No offense, Damien. He sounds like he's in the toilet. He probably is if I know him. He'll be back in a moment. Sometimes the computer connection, I don't know what the weather's like in there. Okay, he's logging out and back in. So we'll carry on with what we're talking about. So I covered food. So fitness, things that you can do is plan to meet people so that it motivates you to do it. Set yourself little challenges. Make sure that you've got all the right gear. So, you know, go out and I know sometimes money's tight for, you know, a number of us, but, you know, look at where you could maybe save spending something and go and buy yourself some decent socks or some decent shoes. Make sure you've got four or five pairs of pants or four or five singlets, a couple of sports bras so that, you know, it being in the wash is an excuse or, you know, not available. Don't have them ready, you know, have bags so that you've got backpacks and maybe you've got a spare set at work so you never get caught out. I've actually just added a little container onto the back of my boot so that I have a spare pair of swim goggles, I have a swim cap, I have my sun hat, and I have a warm woolly hat. So I'm just going to start adding things into there so that I don't get caught out. So if I'm somewhere and someone says, do you want to go for a walk, or it's pretty you didn't bring your shoes, I can whip it out and I've got it, so I'm always prepared. I take an extra pair of goggles and an extra cap in my swim bag so that if I'm with somebody and they forget theirs, it doesn't mean we're not going to do it. It means that I've got them for them. And I've even been known to take an extra wetsuit to events so that somebody gets there and finds they've lost theirs. So it's about being prepared, planning to do exercise in the morning, diarising so that it's important. Life goes by so fast that if you don't put yourself somewhere in the scheme of things, everything else is going to get in the way. Just let me know, Hayley, that you can hear me. I feel like I'm talking to myself. Hayley, can you let me know that I'm still being heard? I'm kind of dead. Oh, you're back. Awesome. Back, Damien?
Yeah, I'm back. Let's see how we go.
That's great. All right, so we've got a question about feta. Up until recently, I've been eating cow's milk feta, but is goat's feta better?
Sorry about that. No, I just had a motorbike go past. What was that?
Okay. Someone said about feta, a question about feta. They have been eating feta, and is goat's milk feta better?
Ah, is goat's feta better? Yeah, look, any feta's good. The way in which feta's made is, you know, using particular rennets and those sorts of things, it's actually really, really easy for our body to digest. So if you go goat's milk, that's fine. If you go cow's milk, it's fine. If you go sheep's milk feta, it doesn't really matter. But some people actually have an intolerance to a protein in cow's milk called casein. And if you're having casein and you've got an intolerance to it, you won't feel good from it. So it doesn't matter whether you go... in that case, it would matter that you went cows, so you'd be better off to go to goats. Goats, you know, traditionally the better way to go, but if you can't handle the flavour, cow's feta is totally good, totally fine.
Okay. So Janine says that she just completed week one, so Janine's a new challenger, and she's not passing bowel motions two in total this week. Previously, she'd do two or three times a day. She's been having the allocated oils, 3 to 4 litres of water a day, and she's also thinking, is it too soon for magnesium oxide?
No, it's definitely not too soon, Janine. I'd be washing that stuff out because that means you've got extra meals hanging around your body and it will slow your metabolism because you reabsorb a lot of waste. So it would be excellent for you to wash, go for a bit of a surf and cleanse all that out. It'd be good.
Okay. Also, there's a question around the whole tummy measurement stuff. And Hayley, could you take notes on this, please, so that you can add it to it so people know exactly what they're doing? Where is best to measure your tummy?
Look, I usually go right across the belly button because that's the part that, will alter, I suppose, most significantly. Some people like to measure the biggest part of your waist or of that area that's, hanging out. But I prefer to go straight over the belly button. I think that's a good objective area because it doesn't tend to move too much in terms of, well, at least if it does move, it's all moving consistently, if you know what I mean. So I do that or just above the belly button. That's where I go. Unless your belly button's hanging down around your knees, then I would choose just above the belly button.
Okay, and we talk about, we're using the tummy measurement as well as scales as a form of measurement. And when your tummy goes down, what is it likely to be? I'll ask a different way. Increase in belly, increase in what diseases?
Yep. Heart disease and diabetes. So the number one marker, they say this at the moment, that's because they don't use highly technological equipment like bioimpedance analysis, which is the testing that you can get done with some naturopaths and some gyms, where we test your body fat mass, your muscle mass, and your water levels. That's the most accurate way to find out your disease marker risk, and I like that a lot. But failing access to that, then one of the best predictors of cardiovascular disease and obesity or diabetes related diseases is to do the waist measurement, and that's why we do it. And there is another ratio that you can measure, and that's the hip-to-waist ratio. And I'm not too sure what that ratio should be. I can check it out, but it's, that's one that's been flagged as a key indicator of diabetes risk. But I tend to like just the waist measurement as an indicator. And for women, it should be below 80 centimetres, and for men, it should be below 100 centimetres. That's the way it should be.
And the really cool thing, I think, if you do measure your tummy, even if you don't want to do it weekly, if you do it fortnightly or monthly, whatever suits you, but is that sometimes your weight might not shift, but your tummy shifts a lot. And so it's quite motivating. And plus, it's another way to know that you're actually on a health improvement journey, not just about that number on the scale.
Yeah.
Sarah just said about the cow's milk feta, it's cheaper. Sarah, what I would say to you, though, is that, you're worth probably a lot more than the dollar that you would save. So just remember that when we're looking at food and we're comparing things. I went out for breakfast last weekend and I was just really angry and disgusted with what was dished up on my plate. The bread was that $1.19 stuff that you get. And I just thought, why am I in a restaurant paying these prices to be given this cheap and nasty piece of bread? So just think about, you are worth more than that. And it was, I felt much better walking out and leaving it than sitting there feeling like I had to eat some rubbish that was disrupted. Just think about, putting yourself a little bit higher up the scale. And I know that was, you know, some of us had limited budgets at times, but just remember sometimes saving, you know, 25 cents or 50 cents, because cows, sorry, the feeder goes a long way, you know, over a number of meals. So just remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, just looking, there was a couple of other questions. I'm just scrolling through. Janine, did that answer your question? Are you, is that enough for you about the whole bowel thing? And what causes some people when they start, Damien, to have a, you know, a complete change in their patterns and routines?
Bowel habits? Yeah, well, your bowel habits can change because of different types of fibres. So we've altered the fibre type going in. Many people have been used to having grain-based fibres going into their gut, and when you reduce the amount of grain going in the gut, you actually reduce the irritation in the gut. So it can take a little while for your gastrointestinal system to normalise. Also, the type of bacteria that start to grow as a result of putting vegetables in there actually starts to alter too, and so you can move away from the yeast that are growing and move more in favour of some of the bacteria that should be growing, and that can alter the way in which your bowels function and the tone of the bowels too. So that can play a part. Also, when you're detoxifying, you'll burn through a lot more water, and so you use a lot more water, and as a result, there's less water going down into the colon, and so your bowels are a little less hydrated. So it might pay you to drink more water, you know, while you're detoxing. Some people actually benefit from actually having a green smoothie or having some green tea, or just, so even though there's caffeine in green tea, there's other things called catechins in green tea that actually stimulate more effective and, I suppose, efficient detoxification that allows your bowels to move a bit more efficiently. There is another tea that you can get called Slimmer's tea or Alpine tea, and that will definitely move your bowels too, and that can assist.
And the only thing I'd say with Alpine tea as opposed to the colon clear is Alpine tea does carry a warning to say don't use it, you know, continuously, and for a way to, you know, keep regular bowel motion.
You know, and the challenge with any kind of laxative is that you can become quite dependent on it. And the other thing with laxatives is it flattens the villi. Long-term use of laxatives will flatten the villi and colon, and that's potentially disastrous, you know, from an absorption point of view, but also from a elimination point of view, it's really, really bad. So long-term laxative use is not good for your body.
Yeah, so as opposed to the colon clear is more like a bowel hydrator, Damien?
Yeah, it brings water into the gut. And so, you know, the colon clear, because it's magnesium oxide, it's a very heavy form of magnesium. It's absorbed slightly, but not 100%. So you tend to bring a lot of water into the colon as a result of the water being hydrophilic, so water wanting to stick to the magnesium molecules. And because the magnesium molecules are quite large, the water goes out with the magnesium in the gut, in the poo, and into the loo.
So a question from Annie. I'm just going to scroll back. Hi, Damien. Why is chicken not in the beneficial list for type 4s? It's so readily available, inexpensive, versatile and palatable. And why then do the recipes for the two-week meal plans for type 4 include chicken recipes?
Yep, great question. Look, again, like I said before, in that many of the recipes, both from the recipe book but also in your meal planner, they're guides to show you what you could actually cook up. And what I've actually got there is hugely beneficial for weight loss. And if you are able to substitute those proteins and think just a little bit outside the box and use proteins that are, I suppose, more in line with your body type, then you'll get a better health result. The other thing is too, Annie, is that many people who come on the 112-day challenge, whilst we ask you to try and be 100% or 80% or 90%, many people actually find that really difficult and challenging. And chicken is actually part of many people's lifestyle. So, you know, part of the meal plan is to have it easily integratable into your lifestyle. And so if chicken is a part of your lifestyle and you want to keep it part of your lifestyle, then I see no significant issue with it, only that it doesn't have a significant health benefit for the body type 4 person. So, you know, if you've got the nous and the talent to be able to mix around and use your mind to work out what sort of proteins are more appropriate and how you might bring those into the meals where chicken's been suggested, then I'd use that. If you feel that it's going to take a little bit longer just to get the hang of it and you need to try and experiment a bit more with flavours, or you need to understand, you know, what the benefit of a particular protein is over another protein, then by all means stick with the chicken that's in that planner. It's not going to hurt you. In fact, you'll probably still get an amazing result. It's just that long term, your health results will be better if you stick to proteins that are recommended for your body type.
Mm. And one of the things I think, you know, you've got to think about when you start the program is not, you know, you don't have to do anything. You get to do it. So it's the difference, you know, enjoy it and you know, just relax a wee bit. Think about, well, you know, I've been eating chicken all the time. I can, you know, I can experiment and try other things that I might not have had before. And the other thing is, like, you know, for a lot of people, I don't think that they realize that they're 4 months away from not only, you know, great weight changes, but actually massive improvements. So, you know, that time's going to pass anyway. So, you know, just be a little bit more open to things. I mean, you know, I talk about this too. When I very first started, I was very much using the list and creating my own things, and I was very resistant to some recipes because, you know, you read it and you think, oh, I wouldn't eat that, or I don't like that, or I haven't tried that. I was just saying about the pumpkin and lentil soup. Lentil wasn't something that's ever been on my list, and it's one of my favourite soups now. So, you know, just being open and trying things is, you know, because you're only 4 months away from some massive changes in a lot of areas. If you choose to be open and try it. Sharon says, I read a book recently that raised my eyebrows as it goes against what I now know. It stated that to exercise on an empty stomach, as this would use fat stores rather than eating and fueling the body, and using the food as fuel first before using the fat stores. It also said not to eat within the first hour after exercise. Can you remind me again why it's more important to eat first? So I think sometimes people get confused, Damien, about the break fast and actually eating breakfast.
Yeah. So let's just go through that because it is better to exercise on an empty stomach. And the reason why we do break fast, not breakfast, the reason why we do break fast is to actually break your fast. So when you go from your evening meal and you sleep and you go to your your first meal of the day, that's actually a fasting period, you know. And most people, if you went for 12 hours or even 8 hours in the day, you couldn't last it. You know, many people complain that they're starving and they're going to die if they don't eat. You know, but you actually go for a nice long 12 hours. Could be you, Briggsy. There's a lot of people. But, you know, people actually feel that they can't get, you know, through that. But somehow you don't wake up while you're in slumber. You don't wake up starving and dying. You know, if you can't eat, you're going to die. You don't do that. So your body goes into a fasting mode. And so to break that fast, all I ask you to do is have a strawberry, maybe a dessert spoon of yogurt, or even just a half an apple and some yogurt, and just get out there and start pounding the pavement. What will actually happen is that you'll burn through that fuel that's in your gut really, really quickly. And the reason why you'll do that is because it's primarily carbohydrate. There's a little bit of fat, a little bit of protein in the yogurt, but the carbohydrate will actually stimulate your body's metabolism to start burning fuel. And when you've run out of fuel, your body then automatically will shift into fat burning, and you'll burn more fat by having a little bit of fuel in your bloodstream before you go and exercise. But then once you've finished your exercise, you should actually come back and then refuel with the first full meal of the day, which we used to call breakfast. Now, I'm asking you to break fast first and then refuel with your first meal of the day after you've exercised. That's what I'm asking you to do, which is absolutely in line with what you've just read there.
So it can be a bit confusing sometimes too. And just going back to that, you know, when I said 4 months is going to go by and you're getting this opportunity, you know, maybe you want to go have a look at what that 4 month date is. When you'll be finished, jot it down, put it on your mirror, put it in your car, put it in your bag, and just maybe put some points about what it is that you want to achieve over the next 4 months, and then you might even be able to break it down. So for some people who are struggling to try new things or changing, it might be just tomorrow I'm going to be open to this, you know, and go day by day, day if you have to, or hour by hour. But, you know, take note of what that date is in 4 months' time, and honestly, it'll go past fast. Janine said, bowels, yes, definitely the difference in fibre and all the medications I've been on. And you and I are going to have a chat about that after the call, which I've said to Janine, you've been back-to-back with patients today. So, Janine said, can you drink too much water?
Yeah, you definitely can, Janine. One of your great indicators of the right amount of water is your weight, but another even easier indicator of how much water you should drink is based on your urinary flow. So when you start to pee and it's clear and it looks like the water you've just drunk, then that's an indicator. Now, some people will drink water and they'll want to go to the toilet almost immediately, but the urine's still coloured. And that's an indicator that you still haven't got enough water in your body. And so you still need to keep on drinking more. It's not the indicator that you've got enough water in your body is not that you've got to go to the toilet. It's the colour of your wee. So you need to make sure you look down to check it out and be, you know, familiar with very clear urine. And don't be upset that your body's clearing out and going to the toilet. Some people go, oh, it's so inconvenient to, you know, go to the toilet as much as what I am. And I celebrate that, because if my body's got to clean out and get rid of junk, it's a good thing. I'd rather the junk in the toilet than in my body. So try and think of it that way, that your body's being more efficient. It's getting rid of all the rubbish. If you're having too much water, you can actually end up with cramps, and it's called hyperhydration. And hyperhydration can be, you know, quite dangerous. But in order to do that, you'd have to be pushing up over 4.5 or 5 litres of water a day.
Okay, Annie's got another great question, because this always comes up. So, hi, Damon. I really do need to go back through the manual from cover to cover again. And that's, people do find they need to do that. And it's a great thing to put beside your bed, maybe just read a little bit every night. Always a good idea to maybe every couple of weeks watch the palm messes, because you'll always notice more things. And as you grow and evolve, your level of understanding of things grows as well. So you'll read it sometimes in a little bit of a different way. But she wants to know, yes, can you explain the downer on coffee that came through so strongly last conference?
Oh, really? Did I talk badly about coffee?
Maybe it was just about not starting your day with it, because that's the bit that I really, I think people need to hear.
Yeah, no, I have a coffee. I don't mind having a coffee a day. And look, some people say that that's bad, but, you know, there's a lot of benefit in having, you know, the catechins and the polyphenols and all the other chemicals that are in coffee that actually can benefit the body. So some people get it wrong when I say, you know, I do like to suggest to people you don't have a lot of coffee, like maybe one a day is ideal. And if you can place it better in the day, then it's better for your body and you'll burn more fat. But it's just that caffeine, if you have caffeine before you eat your meal or too close to eating a meal, can result in you not actually burning all of the fuel that you're actually eating, which will then result in you storing some of that fuel. So I'm not anti-caffeine, and definitely not anti-coffee either. What I'm suggesting is that you actually move your caffeine or your coffee intake to about an hour and a half after you've eaten your food, if you want the best result. Now, if you're not too concerned about the best result, then leave your coffee where it is. But if you actually, you know, shift it so that you're not starting the day with coffee or caffeine, you have food first and then you know, get about your day and then have caffeine mid-morning or mid-afternoon, then you're going to do much, much better than if you had the coffee with your meal. That's all I'm suggesting.
Mm. Okay, Leonie wants to know, is the Alpine tea okay to have if you have Crohn's disease?
I wouldn't do it, honestly, Leonie, if you got Crohn's. It's a little bit too aggressive. It's very, very aggressive on your body. I'd be very careful of that. I'd be more inclined to use the colon cleanse. It's a better approach for you.
Yeah, and Leonie's next question was, what's the most cost-effective? And the colon clear just lasts you for a very long time. You don't need a lot of it.
Yeah.
So it does last you for a very long time, and you won't become dependent. So hopefully that answered that question. So even though she's got Crohn's, instead of bowels aren't that regular. Sharon said, hi, Damien and Phyllis. I want to let you know that my last coffee was on the morning of the 6th of March. I still haven't touched it, although I've been very tempted at times. I've been experimenting with different herbal teas and I'm enjoying the different flavours. That's awesome. And that's about, you know, when you do things like that, challenge yourself a little bit, stretch yourself. Also, you know, strengthen that, not willpower, but want power. You know, you've actually made the decision not to have the coffee and you're actually developing your want power. So you want to do this. It's great. I think it's great. Build successes. And you're not denying because you're trying other things and it might not be forever, but you're just developing that strength and discipline. What's your thoughts,
Damon? Great. No, I agree with that. That's a good psychological, mental approach to take. I like it a lot.
Sarah said a protein serve for eggs is how many? Is it two? Is two about right? I wondered if I'm overindulging.
So, Sarah, it depends very much on your palm size. Yeah, it's very much to do with your palm size. Look, most people can do one or two eggs, and even if you did three eggs, most people wouldn't be overindulging. You can't really overindulge in eggs. They're that good for you, so they're terrific. But, you know, one or two is great.
And Annie says coffee, exclamation mark, yay, exclamation, 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 smile, smile. She's making me laugh. So I think she's kind of happy about that. I think that's happiness. Sarah says, I was wondering is caffeine well placed before exercise if you're going to have it?
Oh, look, if you're trying to enhance your performance, in other words, you want to move faster and you want to, you know, get to the end of the line quicker, or you're trying to do a quicker time, then yes. But if you're trying to burn fat or fuel and trying to get healthier, then no. Caffeine metabolically does speed up the heart rate, and it does, you know, alter a number of different functions within the body, and it can actually increase your muscle twitch, which can be a great thing to have happen. But it doesn't necessarily improve the way in which your body burns fuel. So I wouldn't actually encourage the use of caffeine before exercise unless you're trying to improve your performance in a particular event. But certainly if, you know, a triathlete came to me and said, Damien, I want to, you know, I've been thinking about taking caffeine before I trained, I'd absolutely discourage it, because that would decrease their body's ability to utilize their fuels that they're eating, or decrease their body's ability to utilize the fuels they've stored. And then when they get to race day, where caffeine might actually be beneficial for them to enhance their performance on the day, they'll be less responsive to the drug as it goes into the body. So I would say no, I would avoid that, Sarah.
And I also think, you know, for myself, and, you know, I'm not kidding myself that I'm an athlete, but I am doing some swim races. For me to have a coffee beforehand, and I'm still in that early stages of having stress and a little bit of anxiety, and your heart's beating a little bit faster before you even begin, a coffee on top would just probably be, ugh, not enjoyable. It'd be not nice.
Too much.
But, you know,
yeah.
It'd be too much for me. Hayley says, I've been taking, and I always pronounce it wrong, psyllium lysium husk every day, and I've noticed a huge difference in my bowel motions in a good way. What have you got to say about those?
Psyllium hulls are great. You know, one of the great things about psyllium hulls, again, they do pull extra water into the bowel. But, again, it's very aggressive on the gut, and it can be a little bit too much fibre for some people. But if you've had a low-fibre diet and you're needing to get your guts moving and you want to do some bigger poos, longer poos, then they get stuck in the psyllium hulls. That's a good way to go.
And can you become dependent on those?
I think you can become dependent on anything, and I think you'd even become a bit dependent on colon clear if you continue to take it all the time. That's the reason why we suggest with the colon clear that you actually take it only on the days that your bowels don't go. That's the key thing, that using magnesium oxide on the days that your bowels don't move. If you're using something on a daily basis with the hope of improving your gut function, you won't. You'll actually start to become dependent on it. So I'd much prefer that you use these sorts of stimulants or rehydrators on the days that your bowels don't move.
I must say, the psyllium husk give you nice, fluffy, big poos. Anyway, moving on. Sharon said, I have heard... Sorry?
I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, good. I said it really fast. Everyone else would have heard it, but not you. Sharon said, I've heard of the idea of having a glass of orange juice, in brackets, not cordial, with your meal to help absorb the nutrients in your meal. Is this true or a myth?
I reckon if we sent it to Mythbusters, they'd probably find it to be a myth.
So what about vitamin C?
That's only if your meal's got vitamin C in it. And you have to keep in mind that if anything's been cooked or stored or has had air exposure to it, then the vitamin C content actually goes down quite significantly. So I would say that's a myth.
So you're probably better to take your vitamin C as a mutagenic actual powdered vitamin C and have it in water and
something
like that.
Yeah. Or even squeeze lemon juice over your meals. You know, that's a good thing to do to top up your vitamin C. Yeah, we definitely know that the sailors that sailed on the was it the Bounty or the Endeavour, they got rid of their scurvy when they had citrus fruits. So it's citrus fruit that actually does bring into the body vitamin C, and you don't need lots of it. It's just that we can use therapeutic doses of it. And so a small amount on a daily basis of lemon juice on your meals can be absolutely excellent for you.
And I challenge you to squeeze it over broccoli. It is delicious. Alrighty, so I've done a refresh. Looks like we're pretty much at the end of the questions. A couple of things I touched on, you know, we had the theme make a plan rather than excuses. And the things I said about food, Damien, was actually, you know, one, deciding what your menu is going to be for the week. One is, you know, you can pre-prepare something, freeze some things if you have to, so that life doesn't get in the way. If you're going to potluck dinners or events, offer to take a dish that you know that you can eat and don't feel uncomfortable, embarrassed about eating the majority of it. I said, scarcity makes something more popular, so what's left, people will think, gosh, you know, your plate will be the empty one. And mm-hmm. with fitness, you know, get yourself an exercise buddy, make sure you've got plenty of clothing, you know, a couple of extra exercise bras, tops, T-shirts, socks, all of those things. Have some backpacks, carry some extra gear in the boot of your car, leave a set at work so that, you know, you're covering all of those things so that you actually don't have excuses about running out of time or not having things. Is there anything else you want to just say about planning and versus excuses?
No, I think that's the key thing. I think if you plan, then there's no way of failing. So, especially if you stick to it. But if you don't plan, you're going to run into troubles because you're going to be, you know, trying to feel your way in the dark, and it's not the best way to go. And I'm really encouraged by some of the questions that were asked tonight about the meals and meal planners and whether or not you're having the right proteins, if you're eating too much protein, because that indicates that you're actually planning. You're reading through it and you're trying to work out what's the best way to go and how you're going to get the best result. So, you know, congratulations, well done. Keep all that going. And if you do, you know, design yourself your own meal planner, you'll actually get an even better result, you know, if you're using the foods that are listed in your food list for your body type. So just keep planning the best way to do it.
Mm. And even down to, you know, when you're going to eat it. So if that's a problem and you have to remind yourself, you know, the more that you can plan without, you know, making it a, you know, so rigid that you feel like you can't breathe, but the more prepared you are, the better it is. Sharon says, I'm training myself up for the Huntley Half Marathon, walking 21Ks on May the 20th, so I've started walking 5 to 8Ks a day. I mean, that is awesome. You know, throw a few weight sessions in during the week, you know, and you can find all sorts of things to do, and you're doing the two things that they, you know, say are great things to, you know, moving as well as a bit of weight, to support your weight loss. So it's fantastic. Keep it up. Great.
Yeah.
All righty.
Totally.
Well, I'm going to say good night.
Right.
And thanks, everyone. It was enjoyable. Yeah, fantastic. And thanks for the questions. Keep them coming. And send me anything that you need to know. We'll be in touch.
All right. Have a great night. Have a great week. See you, everybody.